The portion of God's Word that we read this morning is Psalm 23. Psalm 23, the text that we meditate upon this morning is verse 2. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We read God's Word that far. As I said, it's the second verse that we consider. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as a parent, one of the most enjoyable things to do is after your children go to sleep, and right before you go to sleep, you walk into their bedroom and you simply observe them sleeping for a time. There's nothing quite like that, because at least for a time, there your children are and they're peacefully resting. While your children are awake, there's always the possibility of there being hunger or pain or discomfort or strife, or if they're older, a certain fighting with one another. But at least for a time, while they're sleeping, they have a certain peaceful rest. The Word of God to us this morning is that God, in a spiritual sense, gives us that rest. That's the main point of this second verse of Psalm 23. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." And oh, how we need that spiritual rest. At times in our lives, we go forth as stubborn, as hungry, as fearful, as struggling sheep. And how we need Jesus Christ to give us this, in a spiritual sense, rest. Peaceful, content rest. As I said, that's the Word of God that we consider this morning. Hear that word and by faith believe that word, that this is what our Good Shepherd does for us. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. Quite a while ago, probably over a month, we had our last baptism, or at least the last time that I led a service for baptism. There was one in between with Reverend DeVries baptizing his grandchild. At that last time that I led a service, I said that we are going to consider Psalm 23 at the occasion of baptism. We're going to work ourselves through Psalm 23. Recall from that last sermon why we are doing that. The first reason has to do with the fact that Psalm 23 is so near and dear to our children. It may be the first passage of God's Word that these two children who were baptized this morning will commit to memory. And so the responsibility that we have as parents is not only to teach them the words, but also the meaning of this psalm. But there's more to it than just that in considering Psalm 23 at baptism. The truths that David expresses in Psalm 23, the truth, the main truth that Jehovah is our shepherd, is true not only for us as adults, but it's true for our children as well. And that's wonderful. And that's appropriate then to consider at the occasion of baptism, to know that not only for us, but also for our children, Jesus Christ gives them peaceful rest. Appropriately then, we consider the second verse of Psalm 23, and let's do so using that as our theme, peaceful rest. The three points that we consider this morning are these: free from fear, and this is really what characterizes this peaceful rest. Free from fear in the first place, free from strife in the second place, and then last, free from hunger. Free from fear, strife, and hunger. As we noted in that first sermon on Psalm 23, David teaches us in this psalm about God's relationship to us using the figure of a shepherd and sheep. We noted last time that David was uniquely qualified to do this because he himself in his youth was a shepherd. He understood what it meant to take care of sheep. Last time in our sermon on Psalm 23 verse 1, we also made the point that that first verse stood sort of as an introduction or a summary to the entire psalm. The very first verse, David sets the theme, Jehovah, through Jesus Christ, is our shepherd. And therefore, we shall not want. That is, we shall not lack anything. That's the overarching idea of Psalm 23. And now, with the second verse through the sixth verse, David gets specific and he says, this is why you shall not want. And this is how Jehovah is your shepherd. And so that's what we get into this morning. We get into the first main reason we shall not want. And that reason is this. Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, makes us lie down in green pastures and He leads us beside the still waters. The point of this verse is that a shepherd is the one who gives his sheep, his flock, rest. Just like any creature, in order for sheep to thrive, in order for them to flourish, in order for them to be healthy, they need rest. Just that way with us as well, physically, that is. We need a certain amount of rest in order for us to thrive and flourish. The whole point of this second verse is that. That's the goal that the shepherd has in mind, that his flock will lay down and peacefully rest. Really, both phrases in verse 2 drive home that main idea. The first phrase, it's obvious, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, the luscious green pastures. He gets the sheep to lie down peacefully in those pastures. But also the second part of the verse drives at this main idea. He leads me beside the still waters. And still waters there literally refers to the waters of rest, those areas in which the sheep lie down peacefully. The emphasis of Psalm 23 verse 2 is on the fact that the shepherd does that for the sheep. That's something that we don't always appreciate if we don't understand the nature of a shepherd's relationship to his flock. We think sheep sleeping, resting. Simple. They're tired. They fall down, they go to sleep. But what Psalm 23 verse 2 makes plain to us is that it's more than that. And we'll get into this. The shepherd is the one who allows them to do that, makes it possible for them to get that good rest. But really, we're here this morning not to get a lecture on shepherd and sheep, but we're here this morning to see what does this mean for us. What does it mean for us that Jesus Christ makes us lie down in green pastures and leads us beside the still waters? And so we need to see right at the outset this morning that what we're talking about in Psalm 23 verse 2 is the rest that we have from Jesus Christ. And this is not referring to physical rest. We need physical rest. We can't always work 100 hours a week and get no sleep throughout the week. We need that. But that's not the point of Psalm 23 verse 2. The point of Psalm 23 verse 2 is the fact that Jesus Christ gives us spiritual rest. And what rest is all about is this, an enjoyment of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, a certain peace, a certain contentment in our hearts and in our souls. Right in the opening chapters of the Bible, we read that God created everything in 6 days, and then on the seventh day, He rested. He didn't rest physically, but what that rest was all about was God enjoying His finished work in the previous 6 days. And that's the point of Psalm 23, verse 2. Jesus makes it possible for us to enjoy spiritually what He does for us. That will only take place if the three points of the sermon actually are present in our lives. We will only enjoy this spiritual rest if we are, in the first place, free from fear, free from strife, and free from hunger. Once again, I acknowledge my indebtedness to Philip Keller, who wrote that book on Psalm 23. Simply could not understand this verse without understanding sheep and shepherds. There's so much that goes into what we read of in Psalm 23, verse 2. And really what he does that really sets the groundwork for understanding this verse is show how sheep can't just fall down and rest. Certain things need to take place in order for sheep to enjoy peaceful rest. And so this morning we look at those three things that must be present in order for them to enjoy that. The first is that a flock must be free from fear. When you talk about animals, probably one of the most skittish animals around are sheep. If a flock of sheep have any fear, if there's any sense of danger around them, immediately they stand up, are erect, and they're ready to flee. And this all goes back to the fact that sheep really have one defense mechanism. And the only thing that they can do to defend themselves is exactly that, flee. And so it doesn't take much for a flock of sheep to be afraid. All they have to do is sense that there is a predator around or that something isn't right to make them fearful. And immediately they are up, they're alert, and they're ready to run away. They need to be free from any fear. Beloved, we're no different than that. If we are to enjoy what we have in Jesus Christ, we need to have a certain freedom from all fears. And the fears come to us from every side. There are whole sorts of enemies that hinder us from having this peace. But I think if we strip away everything else, and really get down to the main enemy that causes us to fear, it's the enemy of sin. Every night you lay in bed at night and you're laying there. And what is it that in a spiritual sense can cause us to be afraid? At that time, it's not so much this wicked world in which we live. It's not so much even the devil. But what it is our sin. It's that sin that we've committed all throughout the day and all throughout our lives, which when we don't think of it in the right terms, says to us, there's no way that you can be saved. Your sin is too great that one day you will be able to go to heaven. And so you ruminate concerning that sin, and it causes you to be afraid. It causes anxiety, it causes doubt, it causes fear in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. And when that's the case for you, there is no peaceful rest. We need the Good Shepherd. And just like a flock of sheep, we need the presence of the Good Shepherd. The striking thing about a flock of sheep is that all it takes is for the shepherd to come in their midst, for them not to have any fear. It's more than the flock knowing that the predator is gone. Let's say the shepherd is in his house, his flock is outside. He hears the wolves, he gets up, he goes and he takes care of it. He makes sure that they're not going to attack the sheep. But then he goes back into his house and goes to sleep. That's not good enough for the sheep. Even though they may know that the wolves are gone, what they need more than anything to give them this sense of calm with respect to everything that's around them is the very presence of the shepherd. When the shepherd stands in their midst or sits in their midst, and when the sheep can see the shepherd, then they know we're safe. No worries anymore. Everything will be okay. And then they're able to do, as the passage makes clear, they're able to lie down peacefully in the green pastures and rest. And once again, it's no different with us. What is it? Or rather, who is it that gives us the confidence that all things are well? Who is it that gives us the peace in our minds, especially with respect to that one enemy that we just brought our attention to earlier, sin? It's Jesus Christ. People of God, we need the Good Shepherd in our lives day after day after day, in order that with respect to that enemy of sin, we can know all is well. Because what does Jesus Christ do for us with respect to sin? He does this. He says to us day after day after day, this is what I did for you, and this is what I'm doing for you right now. The Good Shepherd says to us over and over again, I died for you. I, as your Good Shepherd, laid my life down for you and covered all of your sins. And what I'm doing right now is interceding on your behalf in heaven. And this is where we realize the importance of our shepherd being no mere man who's limited in power and time and energy. Our shepherd is Jesus Christ, who is God. And what that means is that He's always with us. His presence is always near to us, each one of us as His children. So that not only with respect to that enemy of sin that causes us to be afraid and to cause us to have anxiety in our hearts and souls, but with respect to every other fear that we may have in our lives, the fear of death, the fear of this world, and go right down the list, you can know this is true. Jesus is near, day after day after day. Do not fear, but lie down peacefully, spiritually speaking, and enjoy that rest. There must be, in the first place, a freedom from fear. In the second place, in order for sheep to enjoy peaceful rest, there must be a freedom from strife as well. A flock of sheep are not all together simply on the same playing field, as it were. And that's something, again, that I wouldn't have understood just by looking at a picture of sheep or reading about sheep in the Bible. But sheep are like every other animal. There's a certain authority. There's a certain rank within a flock. So that constantly what's taking place in a flock is this strife. One sheep is trying to gain a higher position. The other sheep are trying to defend themselves from being overtaken. And it all has to do mostly with where the sheep graze. Those that have higher authority in the flock get the better pastures to graze on. And so what the sheep do is called butting. They go up to another sheep and they try to push that sheep out of the way and gain a certain position of authority. But as long as this is going on in a flock, as long as there's this vying for power and there's this defending oneself, there's strife, there's anxiety, there's commotion, which once again makes it impossible for them to enjoy this peaceful rest. A flock of sheep sometimes is no different than the church of Christ. And it's unfortunate that we say that, but that's the reality. And as long as there is strife within a flock, as it's expressed in the church, there is no peaceful rest. Now, it's not necessarily the same as within a flock, trying to gain a higher position and a defending of oneself from being overtaken. We can apply this simply by saying strife generally, bitterness, hatred with one another as members of the church. This was really the main point of a sermon a few weeks ago on Psalm 133. The psalm that says, "It's good and pleasant when brethren dwell together in unity." Only when there's unity does a church enjoy what God does for us in Jesus Christ. And so we don't need to go into this at length, but I'd like to apply this just in one respect this morning. And I think there's a good application here for the children and the young people of the congregation. Because when you look at the children, when you look at your lives as young people, you can ask yourself, is there a blessed unity among one another in your classes and in your schools? Or is this the case? As you sit in the halls of Covenant, you're one group over here, and in your conversations you're talking about another group over there or an individual over there. And what you're saying is not, "I appreciate that person, I'm thankful for that person," but instead it's backbiting, it's slander, it's a tearing of a person down. Or if you're at Heritage, is it the case that you can always see that one or two individuals, always by themselves, you never include them, you never talk to them, and instead you do just the opposite and you make life very, very difficult for them. For you as children, for you as young people, there can be no lying down peacefully and enjoying what we have in Jesus Christ if that is the case for you. And it's either you're on the giving end or the receiving end where it can't be the case. If you're on the giving end, you can't go to bed at night, or you shouldn't be able to. And if you can, there's a problem. At the end of the day, you look back on the day and you say to yourself, "This is what I did. This is how I acted with respect to some other people and what I said and all of the rest." If you're continually living that way, you can have no peaceful rest. And if you're on the receiving end as well, I know it's very important for us to say that we're not supposed to think about that and it shouldn't affect us, but it does. And it's very difficult to enjoy one another and enjoy the blessings of salvation when constantly you are on the receiving end of this hatred, this bitterness, this slander, and all of the rest. And that's why we need to hear this word this morning. And the word is that only when there's Jesus Christ and only when there's the Good Shepherd, in this respect, can there be peaceful rest. That's the case in a flock. It's striking that all it takes is the shepherd to come in the midst of the sheep for all of them to stop this strife, stop this vying for authority, stop this butting and all of the rest. All it takes is for the shepherd to come in their midst and everything stops and they realize, "We're not going to do this anymore," and they're able then to lie down peacefully. Beloved, the only way with respect to the strife that can be among us, the only way for us to enjoy this is on account of Jesus Christ. And that's true because Jesus Christ tells us all of those sins of trying to have more authority. All of those sins of causing this strife are forgiven by my precious blood. And you can know that as you reflect upon your own life. If that's the case for you, you can know for that sin there is forgiveness because of this good shepherd and His life that He laid down. But then be determined to go on and live in a certain way. And also, if you're on the receiving end, it's this that gives you peaceful rest. You can know when you're on the playground by yourself. You can know when you always receive the mocking and the hating and all of the rest. You can know this. Your shepherd is near unto you. Jesus Christ is right there with you, day after day. Do not fear, and you can know that all things are well. But beloved, this applies to every one of us. And the way that we will lie down peacefully in the green pastures and near the waters of rest is to know that at all times our shepherd is near us, is present among us. When we think about that, when we remember that, how quickly then does all of this nonsense, which is really sin, go by the wayside? All of this bitterness, all of this hatred, all of this slander. When we think, Jesus, our shepherd, is here. He's near unto us. Then we see that all of that doesn't mean a thing. All of that is folly. And this is what's most important. The church. Life in the church, life with God, life with our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Only with the presence of Jesus Christ can there be a freedom from all strife. And then, and only then, do we enjoy peaceful rest. Freedom from fear, freedom from strife. And in the last place, if we are going to enjoy this, there needs to be a freedom from hunger. Very simply, a flock of sheep won't lie down and get the rest that they need if their bellies are empty and if their throats are parched. They need to have full stomachs. They need to have wetted mouths in order for them to be comfortable, not to be agitated, but be in a state to lie down peacefully and rest. And beloved, we need that spiritual food as well. If we are to enjoy what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, if we are spiritually famished, there's no way that we can enjoy what we have in Jesus Christ. It's impossible if we are spiritually famished, because it's the Word of God that feeds us, and it's the Word of God that day after day tells us, this is our God. This is what He has done for us. This is our salvation in Jesus Christ. And so if we're going to enjoy that, we need to be fed by that day after day after day. And it's the shepherd that feeds us. It's the shepherd that feeds a flock, especially when Psalm 23 was written and where it was written. You think of Palestine, it's not exactly the most fruitful area in the world. In fact, it's just the opposite. It's very barren. It's very dry. It's very brown. And so in order for a shepherd to feed his flock, it took all sorts of work. He had to cultivate a certain place in the ground and make sure that the grass grew in a good way and find the water areas where the sheep could drink. It took hard work on the part of the shepherd to feed the sheep. Beloved, our good shepherd feeds us. And I don't want to discount what we do during the week in the reading and the studying of the Word. Just before the service, two announcements concerning young adults. That's very important. Young adults and men's society. Societies are important because we feed on God's Word and we're nourished by God's Word. I don't want to discount that in any way. But what I want to emphasize, and that's from this text, and the fact that our shepherd does this for us. What I want to emphasize is the preaching of the Word, as the means by which we are spiritually fed, if it is the shepherd that will feed us as He does, the place that takes place more than anything else is in the preaching of the gospel. In John, Jesus Christ Himself said, "My sheep hear My voice." And that's what's going on when the gospel is preached. It's the very voice of Christ upon His people, feeding His flock. It's Jesus Christ Himself saying week after week after week, and this is the nourishment we need more than anything else, "I died for you. I gave My life for you as the Good Shepherd." And it's that food that nourishes our souls. And so that no matter what we are going through, we hear that week after week after week. And spiritually speaking, in our souls, we have rest. Beloved, our Good Shepherd is good to us. He cares for us day after day, so that all of our lives long we can enjoy what He has done for us. He gives us freedom from our enemies. He gives us freedom from all strife within our own lives. And He feeds us week after week after week. He does, as the passage says, He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. Beloved, we can be so thankful that He is our shepherd, not only of us, but also of our children. And so we leave the sanctuary this morning, hearing this Word and enjoying that rest. And that enjoyment of the rest makes us know that all things are well with God, that He loves us in Jesus Christ, He cares for us in all things. The blessing of that rest is not only joy, but it's peace. Peace in our hearts, peace in our souls, of knowing that our sins will not condemn us to hell, but our sins are forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ. And there comes with that a certain contentment as well. Peace of mind, peace of soul, and contentment. No matter how hard life may be, no matter what we are going through, I am content because I know that my shepherd is near me. The Lord is my shepherd, and in this respect, I shall not want. Amen.